come. Praise the Lord. Amen. Well, praise God. Open your Bibles with me, if you would, this morning to the book of 2 Peter, chapter number 5. 2 Peter, chapter number 5. I'm going to continue series that we started actually a week before last, and didn't minister last week, so this will actually be the second message. We just kind of laid some foundation the week before last, and talking about 10 things that the devil cannot do, 10 things that Satan cannot do. So if you would turn with me to 1 Peter chapter 5, and we're going to read verses 8 and 9, and then in 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 11, a couple of readings, okay? Familiar verses of Scripture, of course. 1 Peter chapter 5, and verse number 8. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. Whom resist steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. We have an adversary. How many of y'all are aware of that? We have to know a little bit about him and how to deal with him, because we deal with him on a daily basis. 2 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 11, the Apostle Paul made a statement here that I think is very important for us today. And he said, lest Satan should get an advantage of us. And this is the thing we do not want. And just by the Apostle Paul saying what he did here, he's letting us know that there is the possibility that Satan can gain an advantage upon you or in your life. And that's not what God wants. God does not want the enemy to have the advantage or the upper hand over you as a child of God. So he says, lest Satan should get an advantage of us, for we are not ignorant of his devices. So there's got to be a knowledge of our enemy, not being ignorant of how he operates and how he works. And then Paul said in 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 4, he made the statement and said this concerning the devil, and he refers to Satan, he refers to the devil as the god, little g, the god of this world. And he says, to in whom the god of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who's the image of God, should shine to them. So one of the main tactics or devices or schemes of the devil, of the enemy, is to blind people's minds. To blind them from the truth of the Word of God so that they don't see or know the truth. To blind them from how he works, how Satan works and operates. To blind individuals of God's power and what the Lord Jesus, and the main thing that he blinds people of is what Jesus has provided for us and given to us through his atoning work at Calvary. And he blinds people's minds to those things. And so we can't be blinded by the enemy. We have to understand some things about the devil. And if we're going to be successful in our combat with him, in our conflicts with him, we're going to have to understand some things about the enemy. And there's something that you and I need to know and understand about our enemy. And that is, first of all, that the devil is defective. He's defective, amen. His weaknesses far outnumber his strengths. And there are a number of things, there are numerous things that the enemy simply cannot do. Simply cannot do. And he wants to blind us to those things. You see, Jesus, our deliverer, and we've sang about him this morning and what he has done for us, but Jesus has already defeated the devil. Well, you've said that before. Well, I don't think we can say it too much, because we need to understand that what Jesus did at Calvary in his death, burial and resurrection simply, totally defeated the devil and the powers of darkness. And this defeat, the defeat of Satan through what Jesus did at the cross, has severely limited the ability of Satan and the powers of the kingdom of darkness. Because of Calvary, because of the cross of Jesus Christ, the kingdom of darkness, listen to me, is fighting a losing battle. Because of the atoning work of Christ and what he has done in his death, burial, and resurrection, his ascension, his seating at the right hand of the Father, hallelujah, has defeated the powers of darkness, and the devil is fighting a losing battle. For every dozen things that Satan does do to trouble people, there are at least two dozen things that he cannot do. And once you understand that, and once we know our enemy, we'll realize that he is a rather unimpressive foe. Well, that got a lot of amens. But he is a rather unimpressive foe. As a matter of fact, the 14th chapter of the book of Isaiah talks about the fall of Satan. And we may get into a little of that. But in the 16th verse of Isaiah 14, it says, "They that see thee shall narrowly look upon thee." Talking about when Satan is finally brought down to his final doom in the lake of fire. "They that see thee shall narrowly look upon thee and consider thee, saying, is this the man that made the earth to tremble, that did shake kingdoms, that made the world as a wilderness and destroyed the cities thereof, and that opened not the house of his prisoners?" See, the devil is actually so unimpressive that we won't be able to fathom how he managed to hold whole cities and kingdoms in his grip. Jesus spoke of Satan, and Jesus made it very clear when he spoke of the devil and exposed the devil for who he is. Jesus said in John 8:44 that the devil is a liar and the father of lies. That Satan, there is no truth in him. When he speaks a lie, he speaks of his own, because he is the liar and the father of lies. And Satan would like for people to believe that he holds unlimited power over them and in their lives. But that is a colossal lie. That is a huge lie, because Satan does not hold absolute unlimited power in the lives of anybody who are born again by the Spirit of God, and that are in Christ Jesus, and that are covered by the precious blood of the Lamb, and know their rights in Christ Jesus. So that's a lie when Satan says that. But the devil is living a lie. And many people swallow what he tells them just hook, line, and sinker. I mean, they believe everything that the enemy puts in their mind and tells them. And when people actually see him for who he really is, they're not able to believe that they fell for the charade that the enemy brought before them. I want to tell you something this morning. Now listen to me. The devil is not some all-powerful equivalent to God. And we kind of get that notion or that picture of the devil that it's kind of a Luke Skywalker, Darth Vader thing, that God is over here all powerful and the devil is over here all powerful, and God is all good and all powerful and the devil is all evil and all powerful. Get that notion out of your head, out of your mind, because the devil is not an all powerful equivalent to God. He's not even near being equivalent to God. We talked about it a couple of weeks ago. God is omnipresent and omniscient and omnipotent, and the devil is omni-nothing. Amen? Isn't that right? It's true, yes, it's true that Satan was a powerful angel, but we have to realize that's what he is. He's an angel that has fallen. He is a fallen angel, and he is a created being. God created him, so God is his creator. It's also true that Satan can still wield a powerful influence within certain limits in people's life. But God and Satan are not equal forces in opposition to one another, one good and one evil. God, by far, there's no comparison. God by far is more powerful than Satan ever was or ever thought about being. Amen. More powerful than the devil will ever hope to be. So it's time that we, as the church, as believers, draw a line in the sand and draw that line for the devil and clarify that there are some things that Satan just absolutely cannot do to believers who are born again and covered by the blood of Jesus Christ and are inside the protection of God's care and hedge. Amen? Now, a couple of weeks ago, we laid the foundation. We talked briefly, you know, a little bit, and mentioned the very first thing. And we're talking about 10 things that Satan cannot do. And the first thing, if you'll remember, that I mentioned at the conclusion of that message that Sunday was that the devil cannot penetrate the blood of Jesus Christ. Amen. He absolutely cannot. The blood of Jesus is a barrier against the attacks of the enemy. And I'm glad today that I am covered by the blood. How many of y'all are covered by the blood? You're washed in the blood of Jesus. And if there's one thing, I'm going to tell you, if there's something that the devil does not want any part of or any part in, is he does not want any part of the blood of Jesus Christ. The Bible says in Revelation chapter 12 and verse 11 that they overcame him, speaking of the devil. That they, the believer, overcame the devil by the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony. What is the word of our testimony? The word of our testimony is us testifying and declaring what the blood of the Lamb has done in our life. Our testimony, I believe, is declaring what the blood of Jesus Christ does in us and does and has done for us. And, you know, I mentioned about the old timers, you know, used to, the old timers, the old Pentecostals, they would plead the blood. Oh, I plead the blood. Anything that come against, I plead the blood of Jesus against that. And, you know, I've heard people say, well, that's not scriptural. They didn't know what they were doing. But, you know, they may have not understood all the theology behind that. They may have not understood everything that was backed up in that phrase, I plead the blood, but I can tell you one thing, they were on track. They knew what they were doing because they knew that there was something that the devil couldn't stand up against, and that was the precious blood of Jesus Christ. Amen? They knew that we overcome by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of our testimony. And so they were declaring that the blood of Jesus was against the enemy. And that anything that came against them, Jesus had already defeated it through the shedding of His blood on Calvary's cross. Praise God. That blood is a barrier. And I believe that we need to understand that Satan cannot penetrate the blood. It's time for us to claim the power of the blood of Jesus. How many of y'all know there is still power, wonder-working power in the precious blood of the Lamb? Hallelujah! Praise the Lord! So we need to claim that power of the blood when we're facing the attacks of the enemy. We need to declare the blood of Jesus. Make this your testimony. They overcame by what? The blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony. Make this your testimony. The blood of Jesus covers me. The blood of Jesus has broken the power of the devil over my life. The blood of Jesus protects me. The blood of Jesus has cleansed me. The blood of Jesus is my shield and my barrier and my protection. Hallelujah! The devil cannot overcome or penetrate or conquer the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. We've got to anchor our faith in that, and then the finished work of Christ in the cross. So that's the first thing we talked about that the devil cannot do. He can't penetrate the blood of Jesus. But secondly, the devil cannot be like God. He can't. In Isaiah 14, we have the biblical account there. We have a revelation there from the Lord through the prophet Isaiah of the fall of Lucifer. And that's who the being, the creature that we know today as Satan. That one that Peter wrote about, that we read to you about this morning, your adversary, the devil, who he used to be, what he used to be before he became Satan. He was somebody else. He was something else before he became Satan. He was Lucifer, and he was a great, mighty angel of God. And the Bible records the fall and the fall of Lucifer in that 14th chapter of Isaiah. In verse 13 it says, "For thou hast said in thine heart, I will ascend unto heaven, I will exalt my throne above the stars of God." Now notice, this is the problem. Here's where sin entered the universe. When Lucifer was not happy with where he was, but wanted to exalt himself. That's why pride is such a terrible sin. And that's why pride is one of the sins that's listed in Proverbs as one of the seven things that God hates. God hates a proud look. And that's the reason why. Pride was the original sin that caused Lucifer to want to exalt himself above the throne of God and to be like God. And that's what he said, "I'll exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will sit also upon the mount of the congregation in the sides of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the cloud." And notice what Lucifer said, "I will be like the Most High." He's talking pretty big about himself, isn't he? See, he rebelled against God. And his plan, the plan that Lucifer had, was to overthrow God. And he literally wanted to take the place of God. Somewhere in his heart, in his mind, he connived the scheme. Somewhere it was planted, it came from within him, that he could run the universe better than God. That it was him that needed to be on the throne. That it was him that needed to be running things, not God. And so he was able to manipulate and deceive and connive and lure a third of the angels to believe his plan and to follow him as he planned a rebellion and an overthrow against Almighty God and the throne of God. And he said, "I'm taking this thing over. I will be like the Most High." And so from the moment, we see, from the moment of that rebellion of Lucifer, Satan has been and was a God wannabe. He wanted the place of God. And he kept saying, "I will ascend. I will be like the Most High. I will ascend above the stars of heaven. I'm going to take that throne over." And he continued to say that until he believed it. But even though he confessed it and said it and planned it and plotted it, it didn't make it so. Because God Almighty said, "No, Lucifer, you won't. You are not headed up, but you're going down." And God said in verse 15, after Lucifer said, "I will be like the Most High," God said, "No, but you will be brought down to hell, to the sides of the pit. You will not exalt yourself, but you'll be brought down." Let me tell you, that is why Jesus said, that's why the Word of God always says, even for us today, and let me just throw this in here, that pride always goes before destruction, and a haughty spirit will always go before a fall. The best way to get exalted is to humble yourself. The best way to get brought down is to try to exalt and exert yourself. There were no gods and there are no gods before the Lord, and there will be none after Him. God Almighty Himself proclaimed in Isaiah 43, 10 and 11, before me there was no God formed. Neither shall there be after me. I am the Lord, and besides me there is no Savior. Are you following me? There were no gods before Him. There will be no gods after Him. He is God. He always will be God. Nobody's going to topple Him from His throne. Amen? Hallelujah. Allah's not God. Buddha's not God. Muhammad's not God. We're talking about the Lord Jesus Christ. We're talking about the Son of Almighty God. There is no other God but Him. He is God and God alone. Woo! Hallelujah. Amen. No, there are not several pathways. All religions don't lead to heaven. Amen? The fact is that God is God in Him alone. But that is a fact that the devil will not acknowledge, because Satan longs for the worship and allegiance that belongs to the Lord only, and he always had. And there's great, in the 28th chapter of Ezekiel, there's a lot of evidence there that Bible theologians even say that they believe that Lucifer, in his exalted place at the throne of God, it talks about him being covered with precious jewels. Actually, it was the same jewels that are mentioned that were the covering of Lucifer, that were the same jewels that were on the breastplate of the high priest. And so he had a high position. He guarded the throne of God. And many theologians even believe that he was involved in leading the worship of God around the throne. So, but he has always, always wanted that worship. And he won't acknowledge that God is the only true God. He's still demanding worship from people today. He's still trying to declare that he is God today. But he never will be. He is a God wannabe. There's one thing Satan can't do. He cannot ever be God or be like God. He's a pretender. He's a deceiver. There's only one God, and that's the God of this universe. Amen. The Lord is good. The devil is bad. The Lord is loving and merciful and compassionate, and He's our provider, and He's our protector, and He's our healer. But Satan is none of these, and Satan never will be any of these. The purpose of Satan, the work of Satan, the desire of Satan is totally opposite from what God is. Jesus said that the thief has come to kill and to steal and to destroy. But Jesus said, not me. I've come that you might have life, and that you might have it more abundantly. Hallelujah. So, you know, the purpose of Satan is to destroy people's lives. And that's why we see the destruction in the world today. Whether it's the people, whether they are God's people, God's followers, or his own. Satan never ever treats those well who serve him the best. Are you listening to me? It boggles our mind why this world follows after him. They're following after him to try to get to indulge themselves in the pleasures of this world and the sins of this world. But Satan never rewards his followers with anything that's good. He snuffs out even his own followers' lives just as quickly as he can. It's so hard to comprehend why anybody would choose to serve the devil rather than serve the Lord. Because God is good, and God is powerful, and God is almighty. And Satan never will be those things, no matter how much he desires it, no matter how much he thinks it, no matter how much he declares it, no matter how much he wants it, no matter how many people he gets to believe it, Satan will never be like God, or ever will he be God. Amen. The There's a lot of religions I mentioned Wednesday night, talking about the two groups of people there are in the world. There's only two classes of people: those saved and those unsaved, or those lost. Those that are children of God and those that are children of the devil. Those that are a part of God's kingdom and family, and those who are a part of the kingdom of darkness. It's only two classes of people. There's not... Yeah, but Pastor Rick, there's so many religions, and there's so many denominations, and there's so many different ways. And, you know, and I heard on Oprah that it doesn't matter which God you follow, it all those paths lead to the same way. Well, you see, Oprah's following the wrong God. And that seems to be the mindset in a lot of people's minds today, that if somebody's sincere, doesn't matter who they're following or what they're believing, if they're sincere. I've heard preachers talk about different types of religions that even name the name of Christ and say, well, they talk about Jesus. But that, you know, Paul said that there's those who serve another Jesus and another gospel that is not the Jesus of the New Testament. Oh, hallelujah. Well, we won't go there, but there are not, and we know this, but we must be reminded that every false religion, every false way that worships anyone or anything other than the Lord Jesus Christ is giving allegiance to the devil. That's why we know Islam is a religion of demons. Are you sure about that? Yeah, I am. I know, you know, it doesn't matter. And I know there's a move today to merge the two. It's called Chrislam. Chrislam. We're gonna put them, you know, Rick Warren was the major component in this. We're gonna bring this all together. We're gonna bring together Islam and Christianity and unite them together. Let me tell you something, that won't work. That won't happen. But that's why is that happening? What is the cause behind that? Why, you know, because it's still the devil's desire to get that worship. And when Muslims bow five times a day, they pray five times a day. I can't get Christians to come to a prayer meeting twice a week. Praise God. But when they bow down and they worship and pray to Allah, according to what the Bible says, they are worshiping devils. Oh, that's pretty straight, isn't it, huh? Are you sure about that? Listen, you know, the Apostle Paul said, 1 Corinthians 10:20, Paul said, but I say that the things with which the Gentiles sacrifice, they sacrifice to devils and not to God. And I would not that you should have fellowship with devils. He's writing that to the church. Don't fellowship with devils. Oh, hallelujah. Praise God. I'm going to quit here in a minute because I'm not getting too good of a response. Don't fellowship with devils. We cannot fellowship with devils. And any religion that worships anything in place of or alongside of Jesus Christ is worshiping a devil, a demon. It's demonic. It's not of God. Are you listening to what I'm saying? Jesus Christ is the only way to God the Father. And there is no, there's no other way to get to Jesus Christ other than to come directly to Jesus Christ through His blood, through what He did at the cross. Amen? You don't go to Jesus through a priest. You don't get to Jesus through His mama. You go directly to the Lord Jesus Christ by the blood that was shed on Calvary's cross. Hallelujah. Paul said that anything that we would worship or sacrifice or worship outside of God would be fellowshipping with devils. So we can't, we're not trying to be mean. We're not trying to be unsociable as Christians, as believers. But we are believers that there is only one way to be saved. Not two, not three, there's only one way, and that's through Jesus Christ and His finished work at Calvary. So any praying to dead people, any praying to dead saints, according to what I read you that Paul said, is worshiping devils. Because Satan still wants that worship, and people are doing it ignorantly. They don't understand that it's not, that's not the pathway, that's not the way to God. There's only one way, and that's through Jesus. Your worship and your allegiance belong to God and to God alone. Anything less will bring death. For the devil cannot bless you. The devil cannot do you good. The devil cannot be like God. Anything that comes from him will be bad. Will be bad. Amen? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Well, I'll give you one to chew on in case we have church tonight. The devil cannot penetrate the blood. The devil cannot be like God. And then thirdly, the devil cannot resist the name of Jesus. He cannot stand against the name of Jesus. Amen? No other name but the name of Jesus. There's power in the name of Jesus. Philippians 2:9 says, "Wherefore God," talking about Jesus, talking about the true way, talking about the only way, "wherefore God also has highly exalted Him and given Him a name which is above every name." Are you listening to me? God has raised Jesus up. God has highly exalted Him and given Him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. I'm here to tell you, there's something the devil cannot do. The devil cannot stand up and win or overcome when you use the name of Jesus Christ against him. Hallelujah. The name of Jesus has authority in three worlds. He said that every knee must bow in heaven, that's the heavenly realm. That every knee must bow on earth, that's the human realm. And that every knee must bow under the earth, that is the demonic realm. The devils and the demons must give way to the power that's in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. There is power in the name of Jesus to break every chain. To break every chain, to break every chain of bondage. Hallelujah! Jesus is almighty and powerful. Amen. It's still His name. It's still His name. The Bible says about Jesus that He is, Paul said it in Ephesians 1, that He is far above all principality and power and might and dominion. And every name that is named, not only in this world, but also in that which is to come, Jesus is not just above, but far above all those that are named. Every name that is named. He's above. The name of Jesus is above every name that is named. Whew. See, cancer has a name. But the Bible says that the name of Jesus is above every name that is named. Sometimes we think cancer's higher than Jesus. But oh no, 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 no. Diabetes is a name. But the name of Jesus is far above every other name that is named. Arthritis is a name. Depression has a name. Flu is a name. Amen? I don't care whatever name you want to name. The Bible says that the name of Jesus Christ is above every name that is named. And the Bible says that all have to bow to the name of Jesus Christ. Cancer has to bow. Heart trouble has to bow. Diabetes has to bow. Because there's no other name that's greater than the name of Jesus Christ. In my name. Jesus said they will, believers, lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. Amen? Everyone, everywhere, everybody will bow to the name of Jesus. For humanity, for all mankind, we must bow now, voluntarily. That's what we call people to do on Sundays. And to we come around these altars and we bow to the Lord Jesus Christ. And every knee will bow. Right now, voluntarily, we can voluntarily bow to the name of the Lord Jesus. But if we decide not to bow voluntarily, then we will bow later. Because we must bow. Every knee must bow to the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And like the lady that preached down in Arkansas, one a great message she preached at the conference, and she mentioned this verse of Scripture, and she said, every knee must bow. That includes Osama, Obama, and Chelsea's mama. Every one of them have to bow their knees. All of them will bow their knees. To the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. They don't act like they think they're going to have to. But every knee will bow. So my suggestion is that we bow to Him now. And that we recognize Jesus as Lord now. And that we receive everything that He has for us now in this life. Can you say amen? But you got to understand, and I'm closing. You got to understand that Jesus Christ has given to the church and given to you as a believer the power of attorney to use His name. That power, and we don't realize what we have. And that's one of the things that Satan has blinded the church's mind and the believer's mind to the power that's invested in the name of the Lord Jesus. All of the power of God, the power of heaven, all power. Jesus said it after His resurrection when He appeared to the disciples. He said, all power is given unto Me, both in heaven and in earth. And then He said, you go in My name. You go in My name. He's given to the church that power and authority to use His name, and all the power of heaven and of God and of the Godhead is invested in the name of Jesus. In that name, Satan must bow. He cannot resist the power of the name of Jesus when it's used by a believer in faith and knowing the power that is behind it. Can you give Him praise? That's why we sing about Jesus. That's why we lift up Jesus. That's why we praise Jesus. Because every devil is subject to the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Musicians, singers, make your way back. There's victory and blessing in Jesus. Jesus wants to do you good. Jesus wants to help you in every area of life. You may be here today and Satan may be running roughshod over you. He may be causing all kinds of problems in your life, but I'm going to tell you something that can change today. Amen. We sang that song. He said he would turn it around. He's going to turn the thing around. People came up here for prayer this morning to turn around situations in their life. And I want you to know your situation can change today. Satan is not. Listen to me. He's not. He's a liar. He's a deceiver. Satan, if you're a child of God today, if you're under the blood of Jesus, if you're in Christ, Satan has no authority in your life at all. Colossians 1:13, we've been delivered from the power of darkness. We've been translated into the kingdom of God's dear Son. So we've got to understand, you've got to understand, your enemy's defeated and he's trespassing on God's property when he comes against you. And it's time to resist him in the name of Jesus. And when you resist him in the name of Jesus, listen to me, when you resist him, the Bible says in James 4:7, submit yourself. And we miss that part of it. Submit yourself, therefore, unto God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. He will flee from you. You know why? You know why when you submit to God, you submit to Christ, you submit to the blood, you submit to what Jesus did at Calvary, and you make that your victory? By doing that, you're just automatically staunch and standing against the devil and resisting him. And when you do that and you resist him, Satan has to flee. The Bible says so. You know why? Because that's another thing the devil can't do. You know what the devil can't do? The devil cannot stay where he is not welcome. And when you take the name of Jesus and drive him out of your life, he can't hang around. He's got to flee. He's got to flee. Man, I wished everybody was excited as me. Amen. Let's all stand this morning. Oh, hallelujah.